The epistle appointed for the first Sunday after Easter is taken from the first letter of St. John the Evangelist, the fifth chapter. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. The Gospel. Is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, the 19th to the 31st verses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples, therefore, rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He, therefore, said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." And he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands. Bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the end of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I tried to make the point last week at the second Mass that we have all the evidence that we need to be completely satisfied that the resurrection of Christ took place. The reason we need this satisfaction is because it is the foundation stone of our faith. If Jesus rose, then everything that Jesus said is true. And among the things he said is that he is the truth itself. He is God's truth spoken in the world. We might say, therefore, and we have a reason to say, that the resurrection is, in a way, the chief item of our faith. We might say further, it is the most important thing in our mind, since so much rests on it. And we are to find absolute certainty in the fact of it. If I seem to belabor this point, it is because of its importance and because the church teaches us how important it is. The Jews base their disbelief in Christ on the fact that Christ did not rise. And of all the people in the world who do not believe in Christianity, they have to base their denial, their refusal to believe, on their denial of the resurrection. They cannot say that Christ Jesus really rose and not accept whatever he said and not submit to the church which he established. I remarked last week that it is true that there is a certain disharmony in the resurrection accounts. For instance, we know that our Lord appeared at various times on Easter Sunday, but even to this day we are not perfectly clear as to what was the order of these appearances. And I remark that the explanation is simply that even though there is disharmony, there is no discordance, simply because the writers did not make any effort to harmonize their stories. They simply told what had been told to them or what they themselves found a reason to record. Today we want to give some thought to what the gospel describes, the apparition of our Lord, particularly to Thomas the twin. This is a most interesting thing, and the reason it is interesting is because the whole story seems fantastic. No one could possibly dream up a story like this. St. John tells us that our Lord appeared on Easter Sunday evening, and Thomas was not with the other 10 apostles. And he showed them that he had truly risen, and he proved it by eating something in their presence and showing them the leftovers. And we understand that now for a full week, the apostles together and singly have been trying to convince Thomas that they had seen Jesus. And no matter what reasoning they brought, and they surely told him of all the appearances, they tried their best to convince him. And we may be sure that some point in this week, the Blessed Virgin Mary took Thomas aside and chided him with his stubbornness, like a good mother. And he simply would continue to shake his head and say, "I want to believe, but it is just too great a thing to believe on someone else's word. I have to have some proof. I cannot take your word for it. I have to actually put my finger into the Lord's hand. Jesus waits a full week for these discussions to go on. And at the end of this week, Thomas is no more moved than at the beginning of it. And our Lord appears again on Sunday in order to rededicate Sunday to the resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection, no matter whatever other celebration it is. That is why, and that is what you must tell Seventh-day Adventists, that we keep the Sunday because the resurrection is a greater event than was creation itself, or than was the Lord's resting on the seventh day. Jesus comes and stands in their midst. It is important that you keep in mind that when Jesus comes in this way, he does not have about him an aura of light. There is nothing different about his appearance. He simply is there, and he is utterly familiar. They know him because they've lived months with him. And when he is present anywhere, as on this occasion, his personality dominates totally. Jesus is truly the most formidable figure of all history. No matter in what circumstance he is altogether prepossessing and overpowering. One of the reasons for this is when Jesus looks at anyone, that person is aware that he is looking into his very soul and that he is known thoroughly, that he is known in all his thoughts, in all his past, and in all his sins. He is altogether scrutinized. This is one reason why the scribes and the Pharisees and the proud Jewish leaders so resented him. This countryman from Galilee, a hick town called Nazareth, utterly dominated them, whether they were in small groups or in large. They resented the fact that he overpowered them, and they would not endure it. Jesus now looks upon Thomas, and Thomas is much abashed. And he says, bring your hand, bring your finger. Now, what you want to do is visualize all the apostles crowding around. This apparition is for their sake as much as Thomas's. And we can hear the awful silence, and we can see their wide eyes, even if they have seen him before and have been so certain that he is risen, they still appreciate this proof, and this is why it is given. And Thomas very hesitantly is required to put his finger into our Lord's hand. That is not enough. He is required to put his hand into the Lord's side. And we can see him slip to his knees and utter with his head dropped, my Lord and my God. You know very well, my dear people, that our Lord does not treat Thomas harshly for a very good reason. We might wonder that he did not strike Thomas dumb as the angels struck Zachary dumb when he would not receive the message of his wife's conception. The reason is that our Lord knew of Thomas's goodwill. But besides, he wanted very much for Thomas to demand this proof. He wanted it for the sake of the apostles, but much more, he wanted it for us, for every man who would ever live. He wanted this most telling proof, a proof that no man can argue. And it does not matter whether it is Thomas there, or any one of us, or any man at any time of all history. The proof is just as real, just as certain, just as incontrovertible. The only thing that is required is that we accept the evidence. And the evidence is this story. The difference between those who believe and those who do not is simply the difference between those who will not accept this story. And they take pride in their disbelief. They have no reason for not believing it. They believe many other things. The reason they do not want to believe it, and that is the word, they do not believe because they do not want to, and the reason is because to accept it is to accept the whole body of his teaching. It is to accept the church and its total discipline. It is to leave them no out, but to be what we are. That is why they do not want to believe, and that is why they do not believe, because they have this story as truly as we do. And on this Sunday, we are supposed to say each one to ourselves, if ever, no matter what circumstance I find myself in, if ever I have questions about my faith, I should return to this scene, and I should put myself in the place of Thomas the Apostle, and I should be thoroughly convinced that this occurred. If I know nothing else, I know that this event occurred, and it could not have occurred unless Jesus is God.